The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark. Some Pharisees came and to test Jesus, they asked, "Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife?" He answered them, "What did Moses command you?" They said, "Moses allowed a man to write a certificate of dismissal and divorce her." But Jesus said to them, "Because of your hardness of heart, he wrote this commandment for you. But from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no one separate." Then in the house, the disciples asked him about this matter again. He said to them, "Whoever divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery against her. And if she divorces her husband and marries another, she commits adultery." People were bringing little children to him in order that he might touch them. And the disciples spoke sternly to them. But when Jesus saw this, he was indignant and said to them, "Let the children come to me and do not stop them, for it is such that these that the kingdom of God belongs. Truly I tell you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will never enter it." And he took them up in his arms, laid his hands on them, and blessed them. The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated for a moment. Sometimes the issue really isn't the issue. Do you know what I mean? Sometimes you may have had someone in your life come to you and reveal some kind of anger. I mean, you pick it up. You pick up that they're frustrated with you or something, and they pick on something. They say, "Your dress is terrible," or, "Gee, you can do a better haircut than that," or, "Why were you late?" And you say to yourself, "What is going on?" And I suggest that there might be something else going on at that point. Perhaps you forgot their birthday, or forgot to invite them over to your house, or to visit them, or to compliment them in some way. And so what they do is they pick on something different. And so it ends up being something that really isn't the problem. And we all do this in our lives. We do it whether it's consciously or unconsciously. And the reason being, perhaps, is because it's so difficult for us to say what it is, to say what truly is bothering us. And so we pick something else so that we can argue over. And husbands and wives, boyfriends and girlfriends are notorious for doing that kind of stuff, right? "My honey, are you angry?" "Oh, no, not me." And you can see it and you can feel it. She's slamming things or throwing things around. And so you wonder, how do you get at that depth? How do you get to the core of what's going on? And I think this is what's going on today as I read the gospel message. The gospel message here is where the Pharisees come to ask Jesus about divorce. And I wonder if there was something more going on. Of course, the Pharisees wouldn't have minded if Jesus said something against divorce and against the powers that be, and that would get him in trouble and maybe have his head taken off like John. But the idea is that Jesus is not doing that. Jesus is trying to get at the very, very core of what's going on, and he's trying to help us to see that sometimes the issues are deeper than the complaints that we see on the surface. So maybe the Pharisees were looking at an issue of order, because after all, order sets a pace for us to be able to relate to one another. You know, if there wasn't for order or for law, we would have a lot of crashes in our personal and individual lives. We would be like cars without signals of red lights and green lights. We would be smashing into each other. So maybe the Pharisees were looking for law, and Jesus was trying to say something much more than just the law. Because the law in itself, even though it was a way of helping people to get along with each other and to work with each other, there were hidden aspects of the law that were unfavorable. There were hidden aspects of the law that were favoring other groups of people. For instance, in this particular session, the man was able to divorce the wife. In the Old Testament, as I mentioned sometime before, a man could divorce his wife for almost anything at all. If she burnt your toast, you can divorce her. Can you imagine? If she didn't fix the curtains or something, you can divorce her. But the idea is that there was something else going on here. And what Jesus is trying to affirm and get at is that it's not the law. And it's not the order that he's trying to point out when he goes back to the book of Genesis and he says, it was not so in the beginning. God, when he made man and woman, he made them so that they would be together. But Moses wrote this divorce because of your hard-heartedness. What Jesus is trying to point to the disciples and to us, it's not a law and it's not some particular order, but it's about human flourishing. And the idea that relationships were made in the beginning for flourishing. They were made under the context and in the purpose for mutuality, interdependence, and a way of helping each other to move along in our lives and to be able to share and to be able to do things together. And so he refers to the book of Genesis as one in which God made relationships in the beginning that way of mutuality. But we, in our hard-heartedness, have usurped the power of decision and the power of relationships and made it such that we can take advantage of situations, and in particular, the situations between men and women. It's no mystery that throughout the entire world, women have always gotten a bad shake in things. Women are always reduced to chattel or to some kind of submissive role in their lives. And Jesus is looking at this and he's saying, this is not what God intended for it to be. Now, let us agree that divorce is a very difficult thing and a very painful reality. Many of you may be divorced in situations that have caused you pain and have extended throughout the family because of that. So no one is right or wrong in the eyes of Jesus who is divorced. But he's trying to get at the point that divorce itself is a mismeeting of the reality of what God has created. When God created man, he created woman, he created a unity. He created a relationship of help and support. And somehow that hasn't worked. And the evidence of that is the other part of the reading that I just finished in the last part of this reading where they're bringing kids to Jesus, right? Children who were sick and children who were lost. And the disciples are trying to get them not to bring the children in. And I wondered why. And the reason probably was because they were sick and because they didn't have mothers and they didn't have fathers. Or at least they may have had a mother but not a father because they were the result of the divorce. And what Jesus is saying there is, I'm not going to limit people to whatever rules you're doing and allowing them either into the kingdom of God or not because of the law, because the real law of God is love and acceptance. And Jesus is teaching us that even these people who were the outcasts because they were now divorced will welcome into his kingdom. You see, when a man divorced a woman in that time, the woman really was reduced economically and socially. She had absolutely nothing. There was no way this woman could defend herself, no way that this woman could bring up her children. It was a very, very bad situation for a woman. And so it made the woman live a horrible life if she wasn't happy with the man. And so it gave the man the power over the woman and the power over the economy and the power over what is supposed to be true and just. And Jesus is saying that is not true. And you see, they challenged Jesus because in the beginning they were thinking that it was the law that they wanted to uphold. And Jesus, of course, was, you know, disregarding the law in all kinds of ways. For example, he was feeding people, everyone that came to see him, even though these people were not part of his group. And they were wondering, the Pharisees, that's not the way the law should work. And he's healing people. He's going all around trying to heal people from any walk of life. And even some of the people that were not of the Jewish race and the Pharisees are saying, these people are sinners. How can you heal them? So Jesus is breaking the law that they thought was the means by controlling, because compassion was the rule of the day for Jesus. Compassion and love and reconciliation is the very heart and being of what Jesus is teaching in the kingdom of what he brings and who he is. And so today the question is, what do we do in a world that we have such brokenness? Because the fundamental issue that Jesus is talking about is this mismeeting between humans. This mismeeting between man and woman, this mismeeting between man and man, woman and woman, this sense of that we have to have something more than the other in order to feel good about ourselves, that we are adversarial to each other, that we compare ourselves in a negative way to the other individual and see that they may have something we don't and we feel good about it. And never mind that we live in an environment that always tells us we are better only if we have this. We are superior and better than your neighbors if you buy this, or if you wear this, or if you drive this particular car. And so we're at the mercy of our environment all the time that keeps telling us that we are never good enough, or we're good only if we get this. It's very conditional. But the gospel of Jesus is unconditional love. For even if the law was not followed, even if your life is a fracture, even if your life is a disaster, Christ is inviting us in, because that is at the heart of the gospel. That is the very message of what he's offering all of us. No matter what tradition, no matter what ideology, no matter what political position you take, the gospel of Jesus and the gospel of God, the kingdom of heaven, is here. And to welcome that, one must come as a child. The child at that point was considered even less than the mom, even less than a woman, because the child was just a little person. They didn't have any, of course, the parents must have loved the child. The dad and mom must have loved their little kid. But in society, they had no agency. They had no power. They had no independence. They had no ability to rule and make decisions. And so they were really worthless in a sense. And Jesus says, it's those kids that come to the kingdom, and you must come in like form. So what is he saying? Do we come in the form of worthlessness? No, that we come in the sense of nakedness and openness and vulnerability and willingness to bring who we really are into the kingdom, bring who we really are into this relationship with God. And so we, the kingdom of God, the people of God, must see the world in the same way, that people are valuable just because they're alive, just because God has given them the opportunity to live and to be, that each one of us has captured that light that illumines the very presence of God in everything. And so even in a disaster as a divorce, even as the most painful reality that we can confront as individuals, and we know how difficult that is, God still loves us. And this is a church that does not separate you because you're divorced. This is not a church that will demonize you or reduce you because you have been divorced, because that is not the message of the gospel. That is not what Jesus is teaching. He's teaching us, no matter where you are in your life, no matter what you've done in your life, no matter what you've experienced in your life, you're always welcome to the kingdom of God. But you come as a child, expectant, open, willing to learn, willing to embrace others, willing to find the kingdom of God with the joy of openness. And so today, this is a big challenge for us to see, because it's the heart of the message of Jesus' gospel. The human problematic is that we're broken at the center. Our foundation has been shattered because we see each other not through the eyes of love, but through the eyes of competition, through the eyes of adversarialism, through the eyes of political differences, of either or, a better or than. These are not the categories of the kingdom. And we can take them and throw them out, because you can walk out of this church and immediately be valued by what you look like and where you, what you're dressing like, and everything else that you're wearing and driving. But when you come to the kingdom of God, you are accepted for everything that you possess. Every ounce of your being is valued. This is what we have to bring to the world. This is where the gospel of Jesus makes sense in a world that is so divided, that is so broken, that is so in need of someone that says, I accept you for who you are. And to be listen especially to the pains that they have, because you will not be able to just talk to somebody and they're just going to suddenly melt in your arms. They're going to fight you. They're going to argue with you. They're going to accuse you because they're angry. Why? Because they cannot say what the real issue is. And the real issue is that they have been there's been a mismeeting in their life. They have not been connected with somebody who truly, truly is able to reveal to them a sense of love and acceptance. So when you try to be this Christian that I'm asking you to try out by being compassionate and loving and so forth, don't expect the person to just immediately give in. They're going to challenge you. They're going to be prickly on the outside. They're going to poke at you. They're going to pick at you. But realize that that anger, those issues that they bring up, are not the real issue. The real issue is, do you really love me? The real issue is, can you accept me for who I am? Can you embrace me for the fractures in my life? Can you accept me for all the warts and all the wrong things I've done? And if you're convincing enough, and if you're honest enough, and if you're willing enough and open enough, that person will get the message. And they will say of you what they said of Jesus. That person speaks with power and authority and conviction. So we have to believe it first. We have to embrace that love first, that we have been forgiven, that we have been accepted, that we are okay, that we are enough. You are enough just the way you are. Your experiences are valuable. You are lovely people. You are caring people. You're insightful. You're brilliant. You're loving and strong. This is what we need in the world. People like you to go and to tell the others, this is the message of God. And I embrace you with that. And I give you a chance to find your place in that. So today, the issue is about brokenness, human brokenness. And the only way to do this is through love. And we keep saying it all the time, love wins, love wins. It is true, it will. Because in the face of love, you cannot light a candle to the brilliance of love with your sense of anger or your sense of deprivation or your sense of sinfulness. It will never, ever compete with the light of God's love for you. And so I invite you today, as you walk, maybe in the afternoon or after lunch, just to settle in that. Settle in the fact that you really loved. That Jesus has come to be one of us. You know, the greatest thing about love is that it equalizes people. When you love somebody, you're mutual. There's a mutual relationship with each other. You see each other almost as you see yourself. And there's a real trust and relationship with it. And God brought us that mutuality through Jesus so that we can see God's presence in our lives. And you know what? He's bringing it to us through you. This is what you carry into the world. This love and this openness. And don't let the world define you. Please. Don't let the world tell you you're too old, that you're no longer good. Don't let the world tell you that you have no gifts, that you can't compete, that you cannot give anybody anything good. Don't let the world do that. That's all a lie to try to make you to feel insecure so that they can then take advantage of you. Listen to Jesus. Listen to his word that says, you are my children and I love you and I'll always be with you and you'll always be with me. And remain his children, open to wonder and open to the beauty of being and the very gift of each other. Open. Amen.